I'm super thrilled to bring up with me here tonight someone who's a close friend of mine and coworker in Wisconsin, who's really helped me perfect the Super Saturday model and perfect the landscape change in the grassroots that we've been able to accomplish over the last year or so. And that's our Wisconsin field representative and also the Dane County GOP chairman, the 23-year-old Dane County GOP chairman, Brandon Malley. Brandon? And what we'd like to do tonight is kind of run through what the Super Saturday model from here on out should look like in each of your county GOP environments. What do we know right now about the Super Saturday model? I'll tell you guys a quick story about the very first time that I wanted to get involved. It was a Super Saturday. Think about it. 17-year-old kid. I want to knock doors. I'm being told that there's a door knocking event going on in my county party. I'm asked to come out to my dingy, dark GOP office on a Saturday morning. Right, I'm a college student, or I'm a high school student. It's really hard to get me to wake up on a Saturday morning to do anything, let alone door knock. And I'm being asked to show up at my GOP office, meet up with people who are decades older than me, fumble around to try and use their paper walkbooks, and then go back out 10 minutes from where I started at my house in the morning. What was the use of that? We figured out very early on in our time at Turning Point Action and perfecting this model that we wanted to turn the Super Saturday door launch into an experience, a party with the opportunity to get involved. And we're going to really run into that in just a little bit here. So a little bit about me first. So as Tyler said, and Tyler was singing my praises, I really, really appreciate that. I started with Turning Point Action for the 2020 election cycle, which seems like a decade ago at this point. Everyone that's been involved for, say, 10, 15, 20 years, I think you guys understand me when I tell you, it adds life to it. It adds decades. And I'm starting to lose my hair. I'm starting to get gray hair. And that's kind of the career field that we all chose. But I'm super excited because this is next generation stuff that we get to do at Turning Point Action and changing the landscape of Republican politics as we know it. So before that, I interned in the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin with my senator, Ron Johnson. You guys know who Ron Johnson is. I cannot imagine a U.S. Senate without Ron Johnson, somebody like him fighting for medical freedom, somebody like him fighting for border security, somebody like him fighting against the establishment as we know it. And before that, I graduated with a political science degree from Marquette University. So I'm a homegrown Wisconsinite. I'm Hilario De Leon's first vice chair, the Milwaukee County GOP chair. Where is he? Is Hilario in here? I took over as vice chair of the Milwaukee GOP about a year ago, and it's been crazy ever since. So that's my story. Brandon, how about you tell us about yourself?
All right, so I am a Wisconsin field representative for Turning Point, and I'm also the Dane County GOP chair. For those of you that don't know much about Dane County, Wisconsin, you're going to be hearing about it a lot in the next election, not just because the national convention is coming to Wisconsin, but because the road to the White House runs through some of these non-traditional counties. You've been told that you have to win over like suburban Philadelphia, if you look at Pennsylvania, for example, or suburban Milwaukee is very important, of course, but a very, very blue area. Madison, Wisconsin is the biggest city in Dane County. It's the Berkeley of the Midwest. You would think there aren't a lot of Republican votes there. People are pretty demoralized. Actually, that's the key. People are pretty demoralized. That says everything you need to know about why I ran for chair. I don't want people to be demoralized anymore because Dane County alone can make up the margin that we're losing by in the state of Wisconsin. And in all of your states, I know you've got that one or two blue specks that pop up on the map and that ruin your election night, or maybe if we keep the margins low enough for the left, we have a good election night. That's the name of the game for us. I've been involved in politics for about 10 years. Got involved when I was 14 on political campaigns. I've been everything from volunteer coordinator, intern, and I've made it all the way up here to the RNCS.
I want to show you guys a couple of our Super Saturdays, some of our more successful events that we've put on, and we'll talk about kind of the, you know, down the line successes that we enjoyed at the national level because of these events. This was an event that we put on in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, last year. For those that have been to the Midwest in late October, you know that it can be hit or miss when it comes to the weather. There are some days that are gorgeous, and there are some days that you wake up and it's 7 degrees outside, like this morning. I woke up, started my car, saw that it was 7 degrees, and I said, shoot, nobody is going to come to this. And on this day, we had about 100 people come out and knock doors in support of Ron Johnson, our U.S. Senate candidate. We created an environment that promoted turnout. What we figured out very early on is it's difficult to get a college student or really just any activist to wake up early on a Saturday morning to do anything, let alone door knock. So what did we do? We turned it into a rally, a party, and found out that people who showed up maybe not with the intention to door knock, after hearing somebody like Ron Johnson speak, somebody like Roger Stone speak, who we had at one of our Miami Super Saturday events once, somebody like Charlie Kirk speak that we had speak at this event right up here that we had in Grand Rapids, Michigan back in 2020. They wanted to get involved. They were super, super fired up. In that moment, you are never going to be more fired up to get involved. My biggest gripe right now about Trump rallies are fantastic, super cool environments, but everyone gets super fired up, and then they go home. That's it. Would you imagine how effective Trump rallies would be, or any huge conservative gathering, if every single person walked out with a stack of door hangers and a walk list and went and hit 20 doors on their way home? That was the environment that we were looking to create with our Super Saturday model. A few more. I just mentioned that, you know, we like to get Charlie out to as many Super Saturdays as we can. Think of somebody in your neck of the woods that can draw a crowd. Somebody who's super energetic and can get that person, even the most mundane activist in your network, to say, you know what? I have a role to play. If not me, then who? And if not now, then when? This was a really cool Super Saturday that we did. Here's the next one. This is Ron Johnson. We held this event in Menominee Falls. When we talk about low-prop voters and going to those conservative voters that might not otherwise vote, Menominee Falls is the definition of that. There's a lot of Milwaukee spillover. We're getting a lot of Chicago spillover. We went into, for all intents and purposes, the belly of the beast when it comes to low-prop conservative voters. And we had an event like this with Ron Johnson and activated 100 new door knockers onto the scene. It was a really cool, cool environment. And we want you guys to replicate this in your counties back home. Here's another one that we did in Brookfield, Wisconsin. Here's some more, that middle picture right here, that Boots, who did the prayer earlier, he's right there in the middle. That was an event we did in Arizona. Off to the left-hand side, that was an event that we did in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And off in the upper right, that was an event we did in northern Wisconsin with Congressman Tom Tiffany in support of now Congressman Derek Van Orden. And again, some more here that we have here. Brandon.
So, the relationships that you build in February and March, they're going to determine your success in November. I'll say that again. The relationships that you build from now in February and March are going to determine your success in November. Let me go back a little bit in my personal background. So I've been through the spin cycle of campaigns, you know, your standard 3 to 6 month. You've got your Senator Ron Johnson, or you've got your gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, you've got your Tudor Dixon, you've got your Dr. Oz, you've got whoever it is. It's a 3 to 6 month stint, right? And then it seems like nothing is cumulative, everything falls off after that. The volunteers have nowhere to go. The volunteers aren't building up towards that in these months of the year before our elections. So I worked as a victory staffer, right? RNC comes in, they have this victory program, they staff up right before the election, and they say, okay, go find volunteers, beat up on them for 2 months before the election, you've got to hit the XYZ numbers, and that's all that matters. And it's never relationship-based. It's never them saying, you need to start a year early. You need to be going to your county party parades. You need to be going to their Lincoln days. You need to immerse yourself in your county party, your district, your state, your local elections. That's one of the flawed, that's one of the major flaws in the current Republican campaign apparatus, right? So we're talking about a complete paradigm shift here. This is a paradigm shift in how we campaign. So
the relationships, right? I'm also a county chair. If you're a county chair, who are you going to be more likely to work with? Are you going to be more likely to work with that person that flew in from the RNC from another state to work an election in your county for 3 or 6 months, and then says, hey, I need your volunteers. They're mine. Your county party members are mine. They're knocking doors for me in the areas I want, and this is my show. Or are you going to cooperate with those like our Turning Point Action field representatives that have built these relationships with you, that have helped with your Lincoln days, that have helped with your social media, that have been there for the entire year before the election and showed their commitment and actually have the relationships with the volunteers? Think about it. We're here as a supplement, right? We're here, we're another organization to supplement the work that all of you are doing, and we're doing it differently than the way it's been done in the past.
What I want to make clear here is that door knocking is the definition of grassroots politics. It's federalism. It's how our founders intended government to be, close to the people. One of my favorite political quotes was from Tip O'Neill. He was the Speaker of the House in the 1980s under Ronald Reagan. He was a Democrat, but his famous quote was that all politics is local, right? All politics is local. I cannot think of a better phrase that sort of epitomizes the idea that every single thing that we can do in politics starts at the local level. The road to anything in politics begins at that local level. The road to ending the most radically liberal White House administration of our lifetimes starts at the local level, right? It's that trickle-up effect. If you expose people to conservative policies in their school boards, in their city councils, and specifically at the door, that's going to have a carryover effect when they're voting in statewide and national races. I would argue to you guys that the most important position in politics is not in the White House. It's in your backyard. Battles for America are not won in Washington, D.C. Battles for America are won back home, in your precinct. Win your neighborhood, win your state. It's so important, and it's when we create that activism, it's that camaraderie, right, the community building that we want to be able to see and capitalize on as we continue to look at races down the line that we'd like to win.
So we want to push the movement to do better, right? We haven't done as well in elections for quite some cycles as we would like, right? That's why we're all here today. We haven't been given the manual for success. Some of us have only been county chair for 6 months or a year. Did the previous leadership come in and give you a manual for what to do? In some cases, they didn't work with you. In some cases, and the RNC should really be in here stepping up to help you do all of these things. But I hear a lot. I go all around Wisconsin. I hear from all different county chairs, district leaders. You know, we have these squabbles, and they say, well, Turning Point, are you working with Turning Point? Or are you working with your state party? Why does it have to be that kind of a question? The question shouldn't be about a zero-sum game. That's why the left wins, and that's why the right loses. It's a zero-sum game in the eyes of the establishment. It's us versus them. They don't think that there should be 501c4 organizations stepping up and picking up the pieces that the national political apparatus can't possibly pick up on. The Democrats have known this for a long time. And that's why they have, just in Wisconsin, for example, we had a Supreme Court race. We lost it by 11 points. We're a 50-50 state. We're a plus 20, minus 20,000 state. They came in with about 40 501c organizations on every single different type of messaging you can imagine. We need competition on our side. The apparatus can't do it alone. We encourage all of these organizations to be supplementing your county parties. A lot of you have interacted with Turning Point before this conference and are now going to interact with us much more. Would you like there to be another organization pushing the party to do better? So that's what we're here for. And then the paradigm shift that we talked about when it comes to these Super Saturday style events, I mentioned that I was a staffer with Victory, the national top-down RNC model for how you win or how you lose elections, as we've seen the last few cycles. And it doesn't work because they're not targeted. They come in, they tell the county parties what to do, and then they don't pick the right precincts. I can't tell you how many times I heard from the top down when I was a staffer under that model, go to XYZ area, you're going to win over the independents and just keep hammering them hard. And at the end of the day, I actually truly feel that we did not move the needle under that apparatus. And that's why I'm now a Turning Point employee, because we are moving the needle and we're approaching this differently. So you all had the data books on your counties on which wards we're going to be chasing. So this whole Super Saturday model is based off of that. This is the paradigm shift. The paradigm shift comes in the data and the relational organizing approach and making door knocking fun. Very important.
Before we get into the how-to execute on these Super Saturdays, I do want to talk about the national impact that your Super Saturday that you put on back home could make. This is one of my favorite things I love to do in every presentation that I give. This is the congressional map of what Congress looked like right before COVID. This is what it looked like after COVID. This was, you know, the 2020 election. This is now. I'll go back. What do you guys notice? Let's just spit it out. Look at Iowa. Look at Iowa. Yep. Look at Arizona. Look at Minnesota. Gerrymandering, a lot of redistricting. You know, that kind of explains why some of those states, those districts look mangled. Take a look at Wisconsin. Look at that. This one in Minnesota, I want to point attention to you guys. That's Minnesota's 7th congressional district. That's kind of a weird statistical anomaly. So since 1991, that district was represented by a Democrat in the House. But with every passing election cycle for the president, the presidential candidate that was a Republican kept winning that district. Tell me how that makes sense. It wasn't until 2020 where a woman named Michelle Fischbach decided to run and won and knocked off a 30-year incumbent. We did a super sat. We can clap for that, yeah. Our team at Turning Point Action went to Moorhead, Minnesota. Are there any Minnesota folks in here? Anyone from Minnesota? Any ties in Minnesota? North Dakota.
R-Y-R.
Yes. Yes. I remember we flew into Fargo. We had our event in Moorhead, Minnesota. We couldn't believe, you know, the conversations we were having with people that were just chomping at the bit for Republican representation in that district. Before we get to Iowa, in Wisconsin, that congressional district, the 3rd congressional district, that whole part of western Wisconsin, that had been represented by a Democrat in the House since 1996, the year I was born, literally my entire life. We had never seen a Republican represent that side of the state. Beautiful area of the state. You drive around that state, that's Trump country. It's mind-boggling when you think that for that long, the Republican establishment that be let that slip through the cracks year in and year out. Turning Point Action endorsed that candidate, Derek Van Orden. We held 3 Super Saturdays for him in a 3-month span. And now we can say in Wisconsin that we have control of western Wisconsin. And now I want you guys to look at Iowa. Iowa, Iowa, Iowa. So you might be living right now in a really, really red district. And you can look at this map right now and say, hey, we're winning. We're fine. We got our foot on the gas. We're good. We have all the momentum rolling. And I'm here to tell you that's wrong. The best play in the Democratic playbook is them assuming we're going to sit on our thumbs, look at maps like this, and say we're good. And when you become complacent, you lose. I'll say it again. When you become complacent, you lose. We cannot let our foot off the gas. On the flip side, if you're living in a super blue area of the country or a super blue precinct, and you're saying to yourself, why should I do this? You know, people like Brandon come to mind who live in the People's Republic of Dane County. Why would I do this? There's no conservatives around me. That makes no sense. And I'm here to tell you, I can relate it to my college experience. When I went to Marquette University, I sat in the back of all of my classes. I couldn't tell anyone that I was a conservative because I was afraid I'd be labeled the class Nazi, the class misogynist, the class homophobe, whatever the left calls us. But if I would have seen one other person in my classes that wasn't afraid to speak up and let their conservative voice be heard, I would have been 100 times more likely to get involved. And it can be the same thing in your liberal precinct. If you put together a coalition of maybe those 2 or 3 conservatives that you know, and you relationally organize them, and then you build it out from there, and let's just say that you get 6 people in your precinct to change their vote from Democrat to Republican, you can literally mean the difference in a win or a loss. And I say six for a very, very specific reason, and that's because very recently we had a congressional race decided by six votes in Iowa. Do you guys know about this? Marionette Miller Meeks. This is Iowa's second congressional district. This is where the University of Iowa is. This is where Cedar Rapids is. This is where the Quad Cities is. The Republican candidate won by six votes. They tied this thing up in court. They recounted it three times. Pelosi was positive. No way. No way that she won by six votes. They got six votes every single time they recounted it. In this instance, literally every single door in every single nook and cranny of that district meant the difference in a win or a loss. If you think that those people who maybe worked on that campaign or volunteered for that effort would have known ahead of time that that race was going to be decided by six votes, that they would have gone into it with a little bit different of a mindset? Of course they would. That's the mindset we need each and every one of you to have going into 2024. That's the mindset that's going to make sure that our kids and their kids and their kids never have to grow up in a socialist country. I am so proud to tell you that Turning Point Action held a Super Saturday event in Iowa's 2nd Congressional District back in October of 2020. Where's Teresa Bumgarner? Teresa, can you stand up for a second? I would love to tell this story. This is one of my favorite stories I love to tell. Teresa is the Johnson County GOP chair, which is where the University of Iowa is. This was a situation where, you know, and you guys know this, a lot of times in politics, nothing comes easy to us, and a lot of things come at us last minute. You can plan, and you can plan, and you can plan, but you just cannot control certain things. And on the Thursday before we were set to have the Super Saturday, the venue we were supposed to have it at called us and said, you know what, on second thought, we don't want any conservatives to come. On the Thursday before, we're scrambling. We're like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We give a call to the county chair, and Teresa, God bless you. Teresa goes, well, I have a farm. You guys are more than welcome to set up in my backyard if you'd like. On that day, we had 100 students from four different states show up to Teresa's backyard, hear from speakers, get fired up, and then go out and knock doors and help deliver a six-vote win for Marionette Miller Meeks. How cool is that? Thank you, Teresa. Yes, yes. So let's talk about how you should do this. How do you want to execute on these? Think, start brainstorming. What do I need to do in my neck of the woods to make something like that happen, to make that impact back home?
So your traditional model of, or idea of getting people to knock on doors is put out an email blast or have your campaign staffer put that out for you and basically say, okay, let's get 5-10 people together. We're gonna knock on a swing area where there are a lot of independents. We'll have a couple of donuts, and then we'll have three people do all of the work for about 4 to 5 hours. This is a different model. This is a fun model. And for this fun model, you're gonna need a completely different setup, because this isn't just going to knock on a few doors. This is an event. We want you to think about it as an event, a pep rally that leads to action. So you're gonna need tables, you're gonna need microphone and a speaker, you're gonna need some t-shirts. Make it fun, make it local party oriented, make it local issue oriented, candidate oriented. Buttons, signs, stickers, etc.
Something like that.
I mean, think about it. Are people more likely to show up for a couple of stale donuts and coffee, or are they more likely to show up if it's a party and you have a lot of young people and you have speakers and you have music? You get all riled up, and then you go and you knock, and you know that you're knocking in the most effective areas. Just think about the psychological impact quickly, right? I know that a lot of your volunteers, because I know this from personal experience. My volunteers don't like when they have bad data and then they go and they knock on supposedly independent doors and it's really angry Democrats 50% of the time. There's a demoralization factor to that as well. So with better data and targeted areas and explaining that to everyone, people are going to want to run through a wall to knock out these key precincts. When you get 20, 30, 40, 50 people together and you knock out an important precinct, you feel like you did move the needle. You feel like you did move the needle.
So let's talk about crowd building. How do we get people out to these things? You know what you need to do. Now, how do we get people out to them? I'm here to tell you guys right now, there are so many different resources out there, so many different groups that exist that are able to crowd build for you and take the recruiting responsibility essentially out of your hands. If anything, this conference, these last couple days, should have reiterated that to you, that we're all in different boats, but we're rowing to the same place. So find those auxiliary organizations in your neck of the woods, Republican women groups, Republican men's groups, conservative 2A groups, log cabin Republicans. The list goes on. Google them. They're out there. Social media is a huge resource for you in finding those groups. Non-affiliated GOP groups, think about it. Where are conservatives hanging out that might not necessarily be a traditional county GOP office or a county GOP event? Gun stores, hardware stores, rodeos, church. Start thinking those outside-the-box ideas, places where you can recruit a pool of people to come into.
No, and it's great that you mentioned the gun stores, because in Wisconsin, we have a situation where 40% of hunters are not showing, hunters and people with concealed carry permits, they're not showing up to vote, right? We have to get them registered, and we have to get the relationship built with them so that they have a reason to vote. But student groups are so important. And again, from this perspective, you know, Turning Point's bringing a lot of younger people and energy into the party, right? Into a lot of your counties, into a lot of your states. And then from a county party perspective, when I took over as chair, right, we have one of the biggest campuses in the country in Dane County, UW-Madison. We have 50,000 students. If it were its own city, it would be the 13th largest city in the state of Wisconsin. What kind of outreach do you think was done previously? None, to the point of, we don't talk to you, or you know, you're not coming to any county functions, or here, we'll write you a check for $1,000, none? No. I went in and I asked the college Republicans, what do you need, right? Not a situation where you come in October, right? You're 30, 40 years older than these students. You come in October, you want door knockers. I know how this goes. I was recruited when I was a college student, and I was happy to do it, but that's just me. I'm a bit of a nerd. So you come in and you don't have a relationship. How do you start something like that if you don't have a relationship? So I asked them, what do you need? College Republicans, Turning Points, what do you need? We don't have pizza for our meetings. We don't have stickers. What do you mean you don't have pizza and stickers? I mean, this was just mind-blowing. I couldn't believe it. And that's all it took to get the relationship started. I said, we are going to have your back. We're getting you pizza, stickers, flags, everything you need. We're going to get some donors to donate to your organization. You're going to have some fun events. We're going to work on speakers. We're going to work on flyers close to the election to just completely cover campus. And that's how it starts. You go in as a county party, what do you need? Pizza, stickers, flags, and that's it. Now these kids, I want to shout out the CRs from UW-Madison. They're fantastic. They're fantastic.
Yeah, they're a great group. They're a fantastic group. Yeah.
When they were talking earlier with Run Gen Z about the students that came over from different states and made calls in Iowa, the biggest contingent was from the most liberal place, UW-Madison. And that's partly because they're great students, but partly because we have such a good relationship with them. We gave them what they need to be successful as students, as conservative students on campus, and they come back and help us with social media. They come back and help us with phone calls. They come back and help us with all of these things a year before the presidential election. So you have to reach out to the student groups. Your Turning Point USA high school and college students are very important. They're going to be your biggest advocates. And then we have Network of Enlightened Women. We have YAL, YAF, Students for Life, Students for the Second Amendment, and we have campus ministry groups.
Turn these chapter leaders, these student activists, into your new best friends. As I'll echo what Brandon said. It's a two-way street. If you show them that you're there for them, they're more likely to get involved with what you have going on if they feel part of it. if they feel that the juice is worth the squeeze for them to show up on a Saturday morning and knock doors for you. If you're going to take away anything else from what Brandon and I are telling you today, please have it be that. In order for the conservative movement to survive and advance, it needs young people to step up, not just join their local GOPs, but have a say in them and essentially help lead the future of it. This is the perfect opportunity to integrate those future leaders into your fold and help mold that next generation of conservative leadership. Let's talk about social media outreach. I think this is going to be the election cycle where we begin to pivot to the importance of social media more than ever before. There are Facebook groups out there right now that you may not even realize exist, that you can be part of, that allow you to be part of a whole new network of conservative free thinkers that you didn't know were out there. Type in on Facebook right now, literally, some of you guys have your phones out, go on Facebook, type in Atlanta Conservatives, Wisconsin Freedom Fighters, Iowa for 2A. There are Facebook groups for everything. Get into these groups. Huge opportunity to then post in those groups and say, hey, I'm so-and-so, chairman of the so-and-so GOP, and we're having a door-knocking event on Saturday. It's a rally with so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so guest speaking. We're providing breakfast, and we'd love to have you come out. Again, the outside-the-box ideas as a way to get through to these people. Telegram, who's on Telegram? Raise your hand. Who's on Signal? Who's on those? Yeah, there are groups like that, too. Type in Wisconsin Conservatives. A lot of election integrity groups exist on Telegram. These are prime grounds for recruiting. Instagram, send waves of DMs to people. I love to do this. I love to go on pages like College Republicans, pages like Don Jr., pages like Charlie Kirk, and then go down the line and look for context clues. If they got a picture with a MAGA hat, you know that they're one of you. Send them a DM and personally invite them to the event. This is going to go so far with that demographic that has now taken over Instagram and is about to be the largest voting block, over the next couple of years in the conservative movement, Gen Z conservatives. We have to be reaching out to these folks. These are your soldiers. These are your first supporters out of the gate. These are the ones that are going to deliver the message. And then find those PC lists, those membership lists, find those people on social media, and when appropriate, send them a friend request on Facebook, interact with them on social media. Again, that idea that we are relationally organizing, you are more likely to get involved if you feel part of something. And I do want to talk about individual outreach, because this goes against the status quo. This goes against the traditional norm of recruiting for events, for advertising for events. Put together an army and make call after call after call, invites. Again, people, just like people feel more likely to get involved with something if they feel part of it, they're more likely to get involved with something if they feel that they've been personally invited to the event. I'm talking your precinct chair list, your membership list. Put together an army and make call after call after call to get these folks to come out. Hi, I'm so-and-so from the Waukesha County GOP. We're having an event this Saturday. I'd love for you to come. Can I send you more details? You guys, think about how effective that can be when maybe some of these conservative activists have never gotten a phone call like that before. Up until this point, what's the number one mode that conservatives are finding out about events? Email. What's the problem with email right now in the year 2024? Spam filters. Yes, you are more likely to get somebody to get involved if, one, it's coming from a personal cell phone, you. Two, you're able to build a relationship with them. And three, there's a personal touch to it. You've invited that person. They feel invested in this. They feel obligated to come. They feel like it's a welcoming experience for them to attend this, that they need to attend this, and that if they don't attend this, they're missing out on a prime opportunity to help a conservative candidate win.
So in-person outreach is really going to be your best friend. You're going to want to find events in the community. Very local events, paneled events. You're going to want to find places where your state representatives are speaking and interacting with members of the community, your local law enforcement events. Just think from the mindset of where people that want to be involved in the community politically would be. It doesn't necessarily have to be a partisan thing either. You'll be able to weed out your conservatives versus your leftists. But if you can vet out your conservative events, do so. Put up flyers, right? Put up flyers. Go to gun ranges. Make friends with the owners of the gun ranges. Very important when it comes close to the election. Home improvement stores. Golf courses can be your friends. And then I'll say there's a bit of a correlation, right? You want to talk about kingpin activists and how to channel this energy. So I'm going to let you in on how I think about what's going on with the traditional Republican campaign apparatus versus more grassroots-minded organizations. Some of you are very numbers-driven, and I like that. We've given you a lot of numbers with the precincts, where you need to do run up the numbers, where you have 750 outstanding potential conservative votes, right? So if you take a look, there's a correlation between the funding for national and state party apparatus and the amount of grassroots groundswell of support for the same, right? And as that goes down, grassroots activists are looking for an organization that'll listen to them, frankly. That's where we find a lot of our energy at Turning Point. We listen. And there are some people that will come through our network and want to run through a wall to be able to win the next election, right? They get that this is the election where we save or lose our country. They'll come through our network, and then we'll be able to work with you as county party leaders to plug them in, and then you, having been the only Republican leader that they have felt like has listened to them meaningfully in a long time, they'll be your number one advocate. They will go out there, they'll recruit 50 to 100 people to your event, and it'll be amazing. You get a few of these people, and your events will be completely transformed. I mean, I've experienced it at the Dane County Republican Party. We have a few people like that.
So I'm sure a lot of your county GOP websites have some kind of sign-up tracking system, right? If you want to attend an event, you sign up, whether it's Eventbrite, you know, any sorts of integration system that exists on your website. Utilize that for your Super Saturday events. You've recruited, you've made a bunch of calls, you've built relationships with auxiliary organizations, you've made contact with the College Republicans, with the TPUSA clubs on campus, you've done everything that you can do to crowd build for this event. Now what? What's going to separate you from the rest of the pack? It's RSVP outreach. It's reaching out to those folks again, one final confirmation. Write this down. Give them a call. Say, hey, I'm so-and-so from the Waukesha County GOP. We saw that you signed up for our Super Saturday on Saturday for so-and-so. I just wanted to confirm with you that you still plan on attending and answer any questions that you might have from the event. Nothing weird, nothing intimidating. It doesn't seem like it's coming out of left field, giving this person a call again, but it's that added personal extra touch that you may need to get that person to fully commit to the event. Right, they may have signed up because it's like, well, yeah, I do have Saturday free. Maybe I'll come, maybe I won't, but I should sign up just in case. But that call could seal the deal. That call could be, you know, that was really cool that volunteer gave me a call to make sure I was coming. And yeah, I did have a couple questions about the event. I'm really happy that everything, I was given that clarity and now I'm able to go on Saturday morning. Right, add that personal touch. This is my direct number. Feel free to give me a call if anything pops up between now and then. If you have any more questions, I'm here for you. Right, you're now that point of contact. You've relationally organized with that person. You've become the CEO now of that activist for the rest of their activism journey from here on out. Right, I know that's corny to think about, but like this is the extra stuff that you're going to want to do in your county GOP that promotes that grassroots excitement that we're trying to find here in 2024, that edge. And then their job's not done as an activist. Their job's not just to show up, have some free pizza, and then go out and knock doors. It's their job to bring people with them, right? Ask them to bring three people with them. Ask them, hey, do you know anyone that you think would also be interested in going to this and helping out this candidate? It's an all-hands-on-deck effort. If not you, then who? And if not now, then when? The more people, the bigger impact we can make on saving our country. If you get that one person on the phone and they bring six people with them, going back to our Iowa example, that one person could single-handedly change the future of the conservative movement. But with those six people, I'm going to bring it back home to Brandon. And the reason we're throwing this back up again is just because it is so important. You're going to be so thankful for the free time that you had in February and March and how you took advantage of that. Because right now, you're going to be wishing in October and November that we had this much free time again to be able to strategize and come up with a game plan for how we win. Brandon, bring us home.
So the mantra that you're going to walk out of here with is the relationships you build in February and March will determine November's success. That is going to be your mantra. You're going to look in the mirror five times every morning and repeat this. And after March, you're going to plug in April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and repeat the mantra. So, data, better data, targeted, precincts. You know exactly what you're going. You know exactly the low propensity Republicans you're after. Energy, excitement, youth, bringing in all of these organizations, listening to the grassroots, having fun. This is the nitty-gritty of winning elections, fundamentally. The door knocking is the nitty-gritty, and this is the paradigm shift that we're presenting to all of you. This is the new model for the nitty-gritty of winning elections in this country.
We'll open it up to questions here. We do have a couple minutes still. We appreciate each and every one of you. The microphone is up in the front. If you do have any questions about Super Saturday recruitment, youth involvement, how to build that grassroots army, we both would love to shed light on anything that you may need. Otherwise, we appreciate each and every one of you for being here today. Thanks, guys. Awesome. A woman on a mission.
Hey, thank you for all the wonderful presentations. I know that we've, you know, learned a lot over the last 2 days.
We're grateful you're here. Thank you.
One thing that I know has not been covered and I think would be great to add to another presentation is candidate recruitment. Because there are a lot of people that are interested in running, that want to run, but they run up against the people that tend to very often choose, particularly the down ballots, and they have this name, it's consultants. And very often, the consultants, I won't say it's everyone, but it's a lot, have dollars as their main attribute for a candidate. In other words, if the candidate has money, they're more prone to endorse that or recommend the endorsement of that candidate. And what this process leaves out is all of us, the grassroots. So I bring it up because one of my friends and myself took it upon ourselves this year to develop a program using grassroots leaders in our community to interview in depth various candidates. I've interviewed twice each 20 candidates for assembly this year. What's interesting about it is that when we first started, everybody we talked to thought we were nuts and tried to just ignore us. They're not ignoring us anymore. And we're not asking to make the choices, but we want a seat at the table. And we think that the grassroots need to have a mechanism, a process for being a part of choosing or at least giving support to good candidates. So I think it's a subject, it'd be great if that could be explored and added into your basket of really great things, because these down ballot, these local, as you say, these local races are so important. They really impact us every day. And so it's really important that we get the best people that we can and people with our values and that are not beholden to one group or another. So if that could be added, great.
Well, thank you. And I will shout out Waukesha GOP Chairman Terry Dietrich, who gave a breakout session earlier today on winning at the local level. One point I'll quick make on that. You know, when we talk about the consultant Republican class versus grassroots conservatives, the infrastructure in the Republican Party is there. We as grassroots conservatives just need to take it over. I'll say it again. The infrastructure in the Republican Party is there. We as grassroots conservatives just need to take it over. Yes, sir.
Thad Butterworth, Ada County Chair. And one of the things we have in Idaho that's very interesting is you see the map, we look very red, but we're not. We've got red state blue management. And we know, because they've been public about it, there are a multitude of Democrats that will register as Republicans to mess with our primaries. And it's how we keep getting blue management. So you mentioned earlier with door knockers and data, and I'm wondering, have you been able to delve into the data that much that you can say, this person really is not Republican, or do you have a scaling system for any of that? I'm just looking for, how deep do you get in the data?
I can quick hit on this. So the traditional model, as we know it right now, for data, you know, coming from Data Trust, RNC Data Center, is in a state like Wisconsin, for instance, that does not register voters by party, it's really hard to be able to determine if this person is truly a Republican voter or not. In a lot of cases, especially with young people under the age of 30, if there's not a big enough sample size of voter history, they're automatically listed as a swing voter. So we want to be able to further narrow down and cast out a wider net, one, but then further narrow down, is this person truly a conservative based on things like occupational data, consumer data. You just gave the number one reason why each and every one of you should explore the app that we've been talking about all week, and the opportunities that that app presents in being able to further narrow down where our conservative voters are, especially in those low prop areas. So I hope that answers your question.
Well,
and
yes. Well,
and obviously, we'd love to keep the conversation going in your county GOP about bringing a better data system to your neck of the woods.
Well, actually, I'll add, when you're talking about the elected official aspect to what you had said, Turning Point has the most transparent scorecard in the conservative movement. So when you're talking about people that are already elected, and they're giving you that blue management that you're talking about, when it comes to your federal races, your two senators, you have Crapo and Risch, right?
Yeah.
Crapo and Risch, and then you've got a bunch of Republican, you've got a couple of Republican congressmen. You can take a look at tpaction.com/scorecard and see how they're actually voting on the different bills and hold them accountable based on those metrics, right? In Wisconsin, I use this all across the state. I use it against the Democrats, but we have a senator, Tammy Baldwin, right? I even go overseas and I tell people I'm from Wisconsin. And if they know anything about American politics, they look at me and they say, don't you have the two most diametrically opposed senators in the United States? You've got Ron Johnson, you've got radical leftist Tammy Baldwin. So I go around Wisconsin, I talk about our scorecard. Tammy Baldwin has a lower score than Nancy Pelosi does, and it blows people's minds. You go to our scorecard, you let people know how your elected officials on both sides of the aisle are handling the legislation before them, and then you go around, and that's a good talking point for you. And you question, why didn't they vote for this bill, or why did they vote for that bill? I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Linda Buckeyed. I'm from Clark County here. As I have... Thank you, my friends. What I have also noticed is that this group supports Christianity, but we're also missing another group. It's called the Jewish faith. We can't turn them off. Now, Dita Titus and Stephen Hershberg would not vote for Hamas or against Hamas. In other words, they supported them by not voting. Anyhow, we need to also reach out to them and not turn them off, and that's my point.
I couldn't agree more. Actually, I'm Jewish. My family, the reason I'm involved in politics is because my family are Jewish refugees from the former Soviet Union. So I don't want... I'm disturbed by the rise in anti-Semitism, and I'm disturbed by the rise in this leftist ideology, which then progresses into communism. Absolutely, we need to be inclusive as a movement. We don't need to, we have Judeo-Christian values. We need to bring as many people into the tent as possible. And actually, I get the broader question.
I get the broader question about Jewish people right now and things after October 7th. The one thing that I'll say that applies to everyone, right? Two things I'll say. One, this is a battle for Western civilization. You see the left talk about Republicans are a threat to democracy. The left is a threat to Western civilization. That's one. The second thing is, after the last few months with the war in the Middle East, I'm not saying that there's going to be a groundswell of Jewish and moderate voters that are going to flip magically to Donald Trump or the Republican Party, but what I am going to say is that there's a fracture in the left. There's a fracture in the left because they've, for years, put together this coalition of groups that really hate each other, and that really comes to mind with Queers for Palestine. Queers for Palestine. I mean, you go to another country and you say Queers for Palestine, Queers would be thrown off a roof in the Middle East. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible. So the thing that grassroots conservatives have to focus on is just fracture their coalition. Just fracture their coalition. Keep pointing out how many different groups on the left actually don't get along. And then you'll see some of these people either stay home or vote third party.
We'll take the two more questions then up front. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you mentioned using the Turning Point scorecard and then using the information there to hold the elected officials accountable. My concern is that elected officials, we may work our tails off to get them elected initially. They depend upon us for organization, for fundraising. Once they get into office, they leave that trough. They go feed at the trough of the lobbyists and the special interests. And they laugh at us when we try to take them out in a primary because they've got the money and they don't need us. And we need to reverse that.
Well, so I'll tell you, so there's two parts
yes.
to being a conservative activist. One, there's getting that person in office, knocking doors so your knuckles bleed, doing the grassroots work to get that person in. And then two, arguably the most important part of being a conservative activist is then holding that elected official accountable. So if you haven't already, check out our TP Action Scorecard. While organizations, other conservative groups in the C4 space will give somebody an A-plus rating, but then won't tell you, you know, what that's based off of, our TP Action Scorecard goes into depth. It tells you the bills that we're scoring on. You're actually penalized for missing votes. And it really is a true resource. It's the one-stop shop for holding elected officials accountable. So I highly encourage you to check that out. And please remember that holding elected officials accountable is truly the most important part of being that conservative activist. Yes,
Hi.
Ma'am, this will be our final question then.
Hi, I'm Louisa, Southern California, precinct committee person. And I really appreciate your scorecard. However, we don't have currently a mechanism for people who are newly running for office. And that's one of the problems that we're finding, especially in Southern California where I'm at. We have people running for office that are what I would call baby Democrat or baby Republicans, brand new Republicans, some just 4 months, a Republican, some people less than a year a Republican. And while conversion is what we want, they don't have a record for us to point back to. And sometimes we really have to go deep to try and figure out, are they really aligned with our principles? So I would love to see, a scorecard for those particular candidates where, again, sometimes you have to go a little deeper because right now, for instance, where I'm at, we have a really Marxist person representing me as my local congressman, and we have someone running against him who calls himself a Republican. He's not even a year, but he's pro-universal health care, he's pro-guaranteed income, and several other things down the line. So we have to be able to, again, really vet these candidates. Another person commented on that, down the line, but it's something that's real we're dealing with, and any help that you all can bring to the table would be appreciated. Thank you.
Okay. So your question was related more to how could we get a scorecard to apply to people that are running for office for the first time, that there's nothing to hold them accountable on.
No, nothing to actually vet them on. So you have a scorecard for, for people who have a score to rate, but for those who don't, again, it takes digging a little bit deeper, and help would be appreciated, because again, we have people who are just saying, oh, wonderful, you're running, thank God, we need you. But no, really, they're, again, oftentimes a, you know, a Democrat with an R on their, you know, on their sweatshirt that's not legitimate.
Well, you're from Southern California, so I think we have a little camaraderie, because I live in a very communist area too. So I know that you're innovative, and I know that you show a lot of perseverance down there, and that's why I have this idea for you. Take the tools we already have for you in terms of keeping these elected officials accountable. Go onto our website, tpaaction.com/scorecard. Make a printout of the bills in the current session for the 118th Congress. Let's say that person that you're trying to vet is running for Congress or is running for the U.S. Senate. Take it, print it out. Don't put on there, get rid of the column where it says how Turning Point would advise someone to vote, yes or no. Give it to them blank. Turn it around on them. Have them fill it out almost as a questionnaire so you can vet them. And then line it up against how we would rate that score, and then you'll have a little bit of an idea if this person's on the right track or not.
I'm so sorry. We are short on time, and we do need to move into our strategy
session. I just had another answer for that. This is where your county bylaws can come into play.
Yes, ma'am.
Because if you have a clause in your bylaws that in order to be a candidate, you had to have been a registered Republican for 6 months, a year, 2 years, this is a place your county chairs can add to your bylaws, and that helps fix that.
Thank you. I hope we were able to get the wheels turning in everyone's head on envisioning what success looks like this year in our Super Saturday model. We're here. We're a resource for you. In your binders, you should be able to find where your Turning Point Action rep is, the one who's closest to you. We want to be able to help. We want to be able to step in and show you the new way to win and how we save our country. So thank you guys so much.